their special miracle fish. That what kind of bread? We want to find all these ways to explain the miracle and get the formula. And God says it doesn't work like that. What? Way, the way it works is when you start to believe that there is potential in what others overlooked and start to believe that God could do a miracle in that season and in that situation, then suddenly faith starts to rise and Jesus says, great, I'll take that, I'll break that, I'll bless that, and here you go.
Welcome from sunny South Africa. The following message is by Pastor Phil Dooley from Hillsong Church South Africa. We pray that this message will truly bless and encourage you.
All right, so title for today's message is, what do we do now? What do we do now? What are we going to do now? It's a question that comes up a lot, and it's a question that the disciples, those who followed Jesus, probably found themselves asking, if not out loud, probably in their minds, probably maybe even mouthing to each other on occasion when Jesus took them down another path or in another way that they never assumed or never, were kind of like on this journey. What are we going to do now? Where's he taking us now? What are we going to do now? Another way to put this, if you want to put it in your notes, is I've got to grow. I've got to grow. Because if you don't know what to do, then somewhere along the way, you've got to grow. We're going to read from John chapter 6, verse 5, a story that maybe you've heard before, but a story that I believe we're going to look at and maybe see things in a different way, get a different perspective than we've seen before. It's a story of where Jesus feeds 5,000. It's a miracle, miracle story of how he does it. And we're going to look at this together. So let's begin in verse 5. It says, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where should we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this is interesting, verse 6. He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for everyone to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. Could have been snook. We don't know, but it could have been. But how far will they go among so many? And Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in the place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And when they had all eaten, or they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. One little boy's lunch feeds 5,000. Not just feeds 5,000, but there is a whole lot left over for others. Key thought here as we get into this today, first thought is Jesus already knew what he was going to do. It's interesting that that is in the passage here, because obviously the Word of God is trying to help us to understand something that's going on. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. And the second thought that we need to catch here is that the disciples were not the same men after 3 years with Jesus as they were when they started. I want you to think about that. That these men grew, that these men changed, that these men changed in their thinking, changed in their behavior, changed in the way they spoke, changed in the way they loved, changed in their level of faith. They changed in all kinds of different ways. They did not stay the same. Now, why I want to illustrate that or emphasize that is because I think sometimes we read the Bible, but we read it like they just were these happy little guys who went on this wonderful journey with Jesus. And we're going here, and isn't it wonderful? And we're going there, and we're doing our trip to Israel to see the Holy Land. Hang on. We're creating the Holy Land. No one's done this trip before. In fact, no one knows what's going to happen next. In fact, many people didn't stay following Jesus because following Jesus meant change, and change is never easy. These men were not the same men after 3 years with Jesus as they were when they first met him. They were different men, and they needed to be different men, because after Jesus completed his assignment, died on the cross, rose again, completed his work, he commissioned them to go out and do their work, and they needed to be different men in order to do what they were called to do. How many know you got to grow in order to go and be who God's called you to be? It's interesting that in the Passion Translation, it says, when Jesus asked Philip this question, it says he did this in order to stretch Philip's faith. He did this in order to stretch Philip's faith. Something had to change. What do we do now? Just over 18 years ago, my wife Lucinda and I came home with a bundle that radically changed our lives. Some would call it a bundle of joy. Some would call it a bundle of tears, a bundle of screaming, a bundle of hunger, a bundle of all kinds of things that I had to change that I have never seen in my life before. It was a bundle that brought about change to our life. And I remember when we brought home our first little baby, Abigail Grace, this little bundle, we left the hospital. Well, we went from the hospital, put her into the baby seat in the car that I had checked about 50 times to make sure that it was strapped in properly, and then drove home from the hospital to our house, the most safety conscious I have ever driven in my life, the slowest, the most aware of everybody I have ever been and probably ever will be. Because by the time you get to the third one, it's like, just look after yourself. We've got to get there. And bringing this little bundle out of the car and coming in to our house and holding her and then looking at Lucinda with no one else around, no family, no nurses, no one from the hospital, just us looking at Lucinda and asking the question, what do we do now? Because now everything has changed. It is not going to be the same again. We cannot put this bundle back where it came from. It's staying. And either we grow or things are not going to work. See, there is always a process that God is doing in your life and mine. A process of change and transformation that comes about from what we could describe as the unknown. See, here's a first thought for you. Your biggest opportunity for personal growth is found when you don't know what to do next. Your biggest opportunity for personal growth is found when you don't know what to do next. You think it's the worst place to be, but maybe it's the best place to be, because it's the place where you are going to grow like you've never grown before, because you have to do what you've never done before. 10 years ago, just over 10 years ago, we began Hillsong Church in South Africa. We launched at the Cape Town International Convention Center, June 15, 2008. Give us a wave at any location. Anyone here, give us a wave if you were there, if you were there on that first. Awesome. And people at other locations, because we've launched other locations and people have moved to other parts of the country, but they were there. A whole lot of people came on our very first Sunday. And it was an amazing day. It was incredible. But you know what? We went home, Lucinda and I, at the end of that day, June 15, 2008. I remember sitting in the kitchen. I remember eating a bowl of cereal. And I remember looking at Lucinda and thinking and saying, what do we do now? Because these people are going to come back next week. We've started something, and this is not going to stop. And what do we do now? How do we do this? And you know, and you kind of have plans and ideas, but you are stepping into the unknown. And it's like, do we have an office? And we didn't have an office. And are you supposed to have an office? And we don't have. We just had Blackberries. How many remember Blackberries? Game changer. And we were working out, what are we going to do now? Because maybe your greatest progress in life is going to happen in a space called the unknown. When you don't know what to do next is exactly where God wants you to be, because that's when He can teach you things that you don't know. Isn't it interesting? Do you ever think about the fact that Jesus chose Philip to speak to? Like, do you ever wonder, why didn't He choose one of the other disciples? Why did He choose Philip? Do you think Philip ever wonders, why did He have to choose me? Why did I have to be the guy who gets talked about in the gospel story like this about getting it wrong? Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about the fact that it's like, well, why, if I have to go through this test, God, why don't they have to go through this test? Because to be honest, I think they need the test more than I need the test. Like, I'm. Do you ever wonder why God does certain things or puts certain challenges before you? How come it has to be me? Maybe Jesus knew what Philip needed in order to grow. Maybe Jesus had been walking close enough with Philip to know what was required for him to grow in this particular season of his life. Maybe that's why He asked him, as it says, because He knew He wanted to stretch Philip's faith. He wanted Philip to grow and change and develop into the man that God saw that he could be. Maybe the challenge you're facing is because God sees more in you than you see on yourself right now. Come on, and if you would just trust Him and get through it and grow through it, then you would be able to handle what He wants to take you into. See, what's interesting is Philip's response to this question of how we're going to feed these 5,000 is probably similar to how most of us would respond. How he responds is what is referred to today. Psychologists or the like would refer to it today as linear thinking, all right? Linear thinking, which is where you kind of build one thought upon another. I'm just kind of getting my water sorted out here. Cheers. Philip's very methodical. Jesus says, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed these people? And Philip starts to get the thought together. Okay, well, what are we going to do? Well, we could get everyone some bread. How much bread do we need? Well, 5,000. That's a lot of bread. How much is that going to cost? It's going to cost. There's no Uber Eats. It's like his mind explodes. It's like, it's going to cost half a year's salary. Like, for everyone just to have one bite. That's what it's going to cost. I brought some sandwiches today just to help illustrate this. I thought, this is maybe Philip's kind of way of thinking. And we've got some sandwiches, I think, at every location. And if you can follow me, maybe this is, you know, Philip's thinking, well, you know, if we make a whole lot of sandwiches and we work out, I mean, it's still going to cost a lot of money, but then we give everyone a little bit of a sandwich. Okay, you look like you skipped breakfast this morning, so I'm going to give you that one. And yes, over here, young man, you can have that. All right, share it with the rest of your family. There you go. And you look like you've been fasting and seeking the Lord, so you can break the fast. It's okay. The pastor said it's all right. And here you go, ladies. You can enjoy that sandwich together, because I know you kind of looked at me like, don't give me the sandwich. So the rebellious part of me said, I'm going to give her the sandwich. So you can share it however you want to. But see, this is how Philip was thinking. He was thinking very methodically and very linearly, that there's only one way to solve this problem. There's only one way to achieve this miracle. But there wasn't. We know the story. Can we have our whiteboard come up just to help illustrate this? What Jesus is trying to teach and what we all have to catch is that he can do miracles in all kinds of different ways. But our thinking often limits us to the idea that God can only do it one way, but he's an unlimited God who can do things in all manner of ways if we would simply begin to see the potential that he sees. See, linear thinking, like I say, is this idea that we build. And it's not bad. It's good. You need to use this kind of thinking, but sometimes it can hinder us. It's this idea that, okay, all right, so Jesus said we've got to feed everyone. So there's like 5,000 people, and we've got to feed them. Well, how are we going to feed them? Well, okay, number one, we need food. That's the first step. But actually, to get the food, we're going to have to pay for the food. So that's going to mean money. And then we've got to work out how many people and how much food. Well, yeah, you know, that's a lot. So we got to times it by, wow. It's getting too difficult. Because we think linearly. God's only going to do it this way. Because that's the way I know things work. Because I know how things work. And that's how God's done it before. And that's God only does it. And Jesus is trying to challenge them to understand first thought. In order to grow, you have to think differently. If we are going to grow, there are areas of thinking that have to change. There are areas of thinking, things that I grew up with, religiosity, religious way of thinking. There are areas where I have to change my thinking. I am not the same man I was when we started this church. I'm not the same man or father I was when we had Abby Grace 18 years ago. I have had to grow. I've had to develop as a man. I've had to develop as a father. I've had to develop as a husband. I have to develop as a leader. There are areas in my life where I have to change and have had to change and will have to continue to change my thinking in order to see what God sees. In order to have the courage to step into the potential that God sees is possible. So the other way of thinking is this idea. Hang on. Of what's called nonlinear thinking. So let's just imagine it's more like a circle. Nonlinear thinking says out here, well, we've got to feed 5,000. And over here, there's a little boy. My little stick figure little boy. And then over here, there's some bread, 5 loaves, 5, 6, oops, 1 too many, okay. And then over here, there's 2 fish. Look at these cool little fish. There they are. Wow. I know that, whoops, this one could be a problem. This one, yeah, there we go. They're beautiful fish. Okay, there's that little fish, and they're smiling, they're happy fish. Oh, that one's not really. He's kind of got a, I don't know what that face is. It's kind of like a, hey. Anyway, so here we go, and you would think, okay, Jesus, we're going to feed 5,000. We need a little boy. We need 5 loaves of bread, and we need some fish. No, that's not how we do the miracle. It doesn't. You need the money. You need the bread. You need lots of money. You need lots of bread, and then you can use a little boy with potential and some bread and some fish. Maybe what you're overlooking is where God sees the miracle. Come on. Maybe right next to you. See, right next to one of the disciples was this little boy with his bread and his fish. And even Andrew, who's the one who presents it to Jesus, says, well, this is all we can find. And we don't know how this little boy came to be there. But all we know is he had the bread and he had the fish. And there it is being presented to Jesus. And even Andrew is saying, well, that's not really going to do much, but here you go. Do you ever feel like that about what you have? Do you ever feel like that about your potential? Do you ever feel like that about what you've got right now and think that is all it is? See, maybe my growth is determined by where I see potential. My growth is determined by where I see potential. That I have to change my way of seeing things in order to understand that God can do and does do miracles in all kinds of unusual and unique ways and unusual and unique places. See, the problem is we always want a formula for the miracle, don't we? We always, and what happens, you know what happens? See, what I think would happen after a miracle like this takes place, next thing you know, the scholars and the theologians come in and they're like, all right, what kind of grass were they sitting on? Because I'm sure it was the kind of grass. In fact, what day was it? What was the outfit Jesus was wearing? It must be, in fact, what kind of fish were they? Their special miracle fish. That, what kind of bread? We want to find all these ways to explain the miracle and get the formula. And God says it doesn't work like that. The way it works is when you start to believe that there is potential in what others overlooked and start to believe that God could do a miracle in that season and in that situation, then suddenly faith starts to rise and Jesus says, great, I'll take that, I'll break that, I'll bless that, and here you go. But maybe we're overlooking the place where the miracle could come from. Maybe we don't believe that there could be a miracle in our marriage, but if we looked at it a little bit differently, we would start to see that God can do a miracle. Maybe we've overlooked something with regard to our children, and yet God can do a miracle if we look again a little bit differently. Maybe in some of our communities and some of the areas that we look at and we think, how could God ever do a miracle there? It doesn't work like that. We need things to be different. We need this to happen that way and that to happen this way. And God's saying, no, maybe you've got to change the way you think and the way you see, because there are miracles that are going to happen if you start to see things differently. See, I believe this, changing my thinking can change my future. I absolutely believe this to be true. And we had Dr. Caroline Leaf speaking around this concept and this idea last week. And I believe it to be true. You can change your thinking and it can change your future. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 18, verse 3. In the Passion Translation, learn this well. Unless you dramatically change your way of thinking and become teachable and learn about heaven's kingdom realm with the wide-eyed wonder of a child, you'll never be able to enter in. See, before we brought home the little bundle of joy 18 years ago, life was great. We could go out whenever we wanted. We could spend our money how we wanted to spend our money. We could go on a vacation whenever we wanted to go on a vacation. We could stay up. We could stay out. We could live lives for ourselves. And then along comes this little bundle of joy. And the money is going to places I never knew money had to go to. You all know, mums, how expensive that nappies are. I said, well, are we spending that many? And then you're spending money on food that you... This isn't food. And you're wondering where all the money has gone. And you can't just go out to dinner anymore. In fact, you can't even sleep through the night without getting woken up. The world has changed and it has changed forever. And either you decide to grow and recognize that this is the greatest gift you'll ever receive, or it becomes the greatest problem you've ever received. It's your choice. Everything changes. My thinking has to change. The way I handle situations has to change, because now I have a new responsibility in my life. And then after a while, you realize, hey, what happened? Let's do this all over again. And then you have another one, and then you have another one, and then you have dogs that are puppies. And it's just Lord, help me. We want this, but it requires this. If I want that, I've got to change my thinking. I've got to change the way I see things. I've got to change where I see potential. I've got to understand that maybe here's a thought. Could it be that it's my thinking that is limiting my potential? Well, if I was somewhere else, then it'd be different. Well, if I grew up somewhere else, it'd be different. Well, if I had this, it'd be different. Can I tell you, God sees potential where you see nothing. He sees, you see fish and some loaves. God sees the ability to feed 5,000. And we need to change some of our thinking because we've been accepting and limiting the possibilities because we don't see that a miracle could happen that way. Here's the third thought. We miss the miracle because we don't believe it could happen that way. We don't believe it could happen that way. But God can do miracles however He wants to do them. Last week, on Tuesday actually, we had our heart and soul night. And we gathered from all our locations. And it was an amazing night. I love when we gather and all those who are volunteers and all those who serve and all those who carry our church. We gathered together and one of the things I shared was around a letter we had received from a police sergeant. A police sergeant who does not attend our church and yet was impacted by one of the programs that we run, a program called Shine. We run a program called Shine and a program called Strength for young men and for young women. It's a program that helps them to understand their value and their identity. Because sadly, many young people struggle to have the confidence to step up and be who they can be in life. They don't really value themselves, and that's why they act in certain ways and engage in certain behaviors. But when you start to value yourself, it changes the way you act and behave and treat other people. And so we're doing this course. It's just a course. That's all it is. It's just run by a few of the volunteers in our church. But can I tell you, it can be the catalyst for a miracle that can happen in areas where people never thought a miracle could happen. I want to read to you a letter that we received from this police sergeant. And this is what it says. I would like to thank Hillsong Africa Foundation, as well as the Shine and Strength teams for their hard work and dedication they put into this program. SAPS, South African Police Service, runs holiday programs, but never a program with this kind of love and affection displayed by the facilitators. We realize that our learners are often not the easiest, nor compliant. But the teams were great in the way they worked with and handled the student or the learners, especially our boys. The program was held in July, and we have never seen the children so eager for more. We would love to roll out this program or see it implemented in our schools. The school has only been open for 2 days starting the new term, and some of the primary schools and one of the high schools has contacted me to ask, what is this program the learners are talking about? If possible, I would love to have it implemented in the community to learners who have dropped out of school as well. I would also love to avail myself as a volunteer for the program and training as a facilitator if possible. This is a police sergeant saying what you are doing has the potential to create miracles in our midst. She says, a real special thank you to Kaylin and for making this possible on such short notice. My personal view, this is from a police sergeant in one of our communities not far from here. We can fight crime till we are blue in the face and nothing will change. But if we introduce our communities and our children to Jesus, that is the only way we are going to win this war on crime. There are miracles when we start to see potential in places that others overlooked. And I believe it is a word for our church. I believe this is a word for some particular people who are listening to me, even some business people. You have overlooked certain areas and thought the miracle couldn't come from there. You didn't see the potential, but God wants you to relook at that, because there is potential in those places as you trust God, as you grab hold of that, and as you bring it to Him, that He's going to bless it and break it and multiply it if you would understand and see the potential that you overlooked. See, miracles should surprise us. They cannot be predictable. That's why they're called miracles. Miracles require different thinking. Our problem is that we want God to do a miracle our way, according to our program, our agenda, our timing. Rather than seeing things differently and trusting that He could do a miracle any way He wants, He's just looking for people who see potential where everyone else has missed it. Can I say today that you might feel like you've been missed? That's a lie. You might feel like you've been overlooked, you've been ignored, that you've been underestimated by the social structure of this world. Let me tell you, you are a prime candidate for a God-glorifying miracle. When I look at this little boy and his fish and his loaves, I think about the youth of South Africa. And I think sometimes we would overlook them and think, oh, well, what could they bring? They only have this. There's high unemployment rates. There's challenges here. There's violence there. But maybe if we looked again and we looked a little bit differently and we did everything we could to bring them to Jesus, that maybe He could do a miracle like we've never seen, in a way that we've never seen it, when we start to see potential where others have overlooked. Come on, can you stand with me? See, we've got to stop looking down on ourselves. We've got to stop looking down on our surroundings. We've got to stop looking down on our communities and on our city and on what we have or what we feel limited by, and start to recognize that there is potential, that God sees potential in places that are overlooked, that God always uses the foolish in this world to confound the wise. And I pray that we will be a church that will constantly see potential and do everything we can to bring that potential to Jesus and see all kinds of miracles. Come on, if you believe it, can you give God a shout of praise?
Thanks for joining us. You can find out more about Phil Dooley on phildooley.com. If you just made a decision to follow Jesus, we just want to say a big congratulations. This is the beginning of an amazing relationship. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and send it to a friend that you know will be blessed. You're always welcome to join us for Sunday services happening across South Africa. Find out where and when on hillsong.co.za. We can't wait to meet you.